here in God's house and worship with you in service to our God. How many of you saw church signs on the way to church this morning? I don't drive past any. But I see a lot of road signs that tell me a curve's coming. That there's something ahead. But I don't think we ever saw on a road sign that it said miracles just ahead. I've never seen it. If we saw that going down the road, we'd wonder, what's around the next corner? There must be something dangerous up there. We're going to have a miracle that's going to protect us. Do you ever feel in your spiritual life that there's dangers just ahead? And that you're in need of a miracle just ahead of you? Miracles just ahead. Miracles happen today. Yes, they do. It's our anniversary today. Now, I'm not going to preach an anniversary message, but I had a person ask me one time, how can somebody from Ohio, Wayne County, Ohio, meet somebody that originated from New York? And she's living in PA. How can we meet? The miles in between. Miracles still happen. God still moves. This message this morning comes to me from the inspiration from a song that was sent to me and I pondered this song and there's a lot of meaning to it. I'm going to read the words of this song. And if it'd be proper, I would play it across so everybody could hear it, because it is kind of a catchy tune to it, and that's not the point of it. We want to get the words out of it, and sometimes you have to listen to it twice to get the words. But there's a lot of meaning in these words. And it goes like this. When my spirit is heavy, and the dark clouds hang low, when a pathway I'm walking is a steep winding road, in the distance a light is shining, beckoning on, bringing joy to my heart to know that God is still good. Second verse. When temptations come rolling in like floods in a storm, when I'm fighting a battle in the rocks and the thorns, there's a power around me helping carry my load, and my heart can still sing his praises. God is still good. Third verse. When a new child of God has crossed the river of death, and each day holds a memory of the one who has left, what a comfort to know in heaven we'll meet again, and with anticipation knowing God is still good. Chorus goes, God is good all the time. God is good. He's on time. God is good. He's my friend. God is good till the end. And as I pondered those words of that song, I think we've all been at trials in life where the burden gets heavy. We wonder how we can go on. The dark clouds have hung low. The pathway we're walking is a steep, winding road. We wonder which way to go. In the distance, a light is shining, beckoning me on. I don't know what trials you're going through. For the group that has come from Seneca, there was trials. There's turmoil in church life. But I trust that this morning you can say, God is still good. All the time, God is good. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23. We're going to pull our message, the main part of it, from Psalm 23, and the last part of the message from Colossians 3. But I'd like to look at Psalm 23 this morning. Oftentimes when you go to a funeral and there's words on that little paper they give you, this passage is oftentimes on there because it's such a comforting psalm. Let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pull some thoughts from this passage here, and I'd like to kind of go down through the verses, and just as we think of God being good, some aspects about God and how he's good to us, and this passage is full of them for us. Verse 1, the first point I have is taken from verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do we realize that God can supply all our needs? He supplies everything for us. He is my shepherd. Do you have that relationship with him? Because it needs to start there for him to supply your needs. What is some of those needs? In our day about us, it's comfort. We need comfort. We all need comfort at different times in our life. We need him to supply our needs, our wants, our what we need to sustain life. We live in a land of plenty in America here. This in here probably doesn't affect us quite as much because we have so much. But do we realize God is good and he has given it to us? He has everything you need to be your shepherd and to see victorious. Every need of your mind, of your heart. He is able to take you through temptation, to bring you through victorious in the end. He'll supply all your needs. The second verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I don't know what you think about when you think of green pastures. A lush green pasture is what comes to my mind. Something that is beautiful. There's plenty of forage there for some cattle. They have the sustaining needs there. There's still water there. There's water there that is calm. And we don't need to worry about stuff falling in and getting drowned. See, rest and refreshment. David, I believe, as he ran from Saul, knew the value of his needs being supplied. Today, we need our needs supplied. We need our sins forgiven. Can anybody else supply that need other than God? No. No. You can't buy your way to heaven. There's nothing we can do on this earth that is good enough apart from God and his plan that he has created through Jesus. But we need to come to the feeling of helplessness. where we realize that God is in control and God is good. He has supplied that way to be refreshed and to be restored to a right relationship with God. Let's go on to verse 3 for the third point. He restoreth my soul. As he comes into verse 3, he says, he restores my soul. He's in the product. He's in restoration projects, restoring people. David, as he penned this psalm, I believe he knew the restoration that can come. Turn with me to Psalm 32. Let's look at David's life here a little bit. Psalm 32, I'm going to read the first five verses. As we think of David needing restoration. Verse 1 of Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. And in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Amen. He did. He acknowledged his sin and his iniquity and realized that he needed this restoration project to happen in his life. God to forgive and to bring him back. And I believe that comes over to Psalm 23 as well. As he's penning this psalm, he restoreth my soul. I think David knew what the sins that he committed that God had cleansed him from. Confessed his sin and the guilt was gone. The shame gets removed. And you're walking and serving God. Fourth point, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Right paths. Verse 3 says, in the paths of righteousness, right paths. Walking through trials in life. We don't need to worry about them because God is good. He's leading. Or is he? You see, for somebody to lead somebody, they need to be in front. Leading in front. Or are you going on your own? Taking your own way? God's not in front of you leading you anymore. I'm going to have my own way. The world's alluring you and leading you. Come back to God. Let him be your guide. Let him be in front of you and lead you. Because it's only in God that you can have this guidance, this protection that it says in verse 4. What are you going to do if you're following the world when you come to death? Did you ever think about that young person? Did you ever think about that older person? Well, we say the older people, yeah, they think about it because they've lived their life. What about the middle-aged people? You're never too old to die. My second cousin has a little baby that's dead. Passed away. Yeah, there was health needs there. But it's 3 years old. My wife's side, she has a cousin fighting cancer.
doctors pretty much give a hopeless case on it. Not very old. Not very old. You may say, well, I'm healthy, I'm strong. I'm not faced with that. I just saw in the news the other day, the sickness that's going around. A young person, it was a boy, young boy that prided himself in being strong, being physically fit, passed away with the sickness that's going around. Verse 4 here says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with him. Apart from God, there is nothing. You have no hope for eternity, for the future. Don't turn to the world for leading. It'll only end in turmoil. And when death comes, what's going to be your outcome? Paths of righteousness. It says here in verse 3, paths of righteousness. Want to go back and pick out the paths of righteousness. Right paths. It's the only way we can claim these promises that is in these verses. God is good and he's just. God is leading you away from evil, away from the allurements of the world. If you're following God, if he's in front of you and you're following as you ought, he will lead you away from evil. If you find yourself heading into sin, you can rest assured you're not following God. Last part of verse 4. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou art with me. When God's with us, he fills the deepest need of our life. The world is searching to fill a need in their life that it can never supply. But God can. God can. We mentioned about, well, Brother Nelson mentioned in his few thoughts there in the opening part, about laws, about standards, can we say, that keep us. Do we ever feel God's rod and his staff in our at work in our lives, convicting us, turning us back? We have the guardrails there. The standard book's there. Are we staying in the guardrail? Are we trying to jump the guardrail? Does God have to use his rod and staff to draw us back? If he does, let's be open to it. Because if you want God to guide, protect, you need to have him leading you. For the fifth point, verse 5 and 6. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There's a spiritual feast. If you follow God and he's leading you, there's a spiritual feast that can happen in your life. Do you enjoy feeding on God's word? In the presence of mine enemies, we're surrounded with people of the world, the allurements of the world, that we are called to be a light and a witness to, and they're trying to cause inroads into your life. Preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. there's a spiritual feast that can happen even in those times. You can still walk through life, and God's going to supply your needs. Anoint us my head with oil. Oil speaks a lot of times of healing. Blessing on your life. My cup runneth over. Turn with me in your Bibles to Malachi 3. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now there herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. My cup runneth over. There you have it in that verse. God is good. He can pour out blessings that you don't know what to do with. And it's going to run off and the world's going to receive it. It's going to make an impact on the world. Is your cup running over this morning? I trust it is. Verse 6 yet. The last part of it. The sixth point. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Home at last! Or where is home going to be? When you get to be Tim's age, when you get to be David's age, when you get to be Marlon's age, when you get to be Edwin's age, and you look back over your life, yes, you still got future ahead of you. But as you look back, even if you're a young person here, and you've given your heart to the Lord, and He's leading you thus far, and you look back, what do you see? Do you see God leading and working in your life? Or do you see taking the path of your own? God's not leading you. You're following the world, and it's leading you in this life. I trust we can have the promise that it says here in verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can have that assurance that God is good. He was in the past, and He will be in the future when we stand before Him in judgment. Just a few thoughts from Colossians 3. Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. As I pondered this aspect of God being good, I wanted to pull some thoughts. What our response should be to God's goodness. I had a quote that I came across. An attitude of gratitude changes everything. I like to think about being thankful for what God does for you. Colossians 3. So we think of this thanks, being thankful for God and His goodness to us. I'm going to read verse 14 through 16. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Excuse me. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. When you're following Jesus and he's leading you, and you can say, God is good. Thanksgiving's going to be the natural response from your life. You're going to be a thankful people. First of all, thankful for the provisions God made for you, for his grace in your life. And then for the small things in life, for your family, your friends, your food that you get put on the table, the little things your wife does for you, wives, the little things the husbands do for you. You'll be a thankful people. It'll help you to be thankful. When you realize that God has brought you to this point in life, he's good, he was faithful in the past, and he has given us more than we deserve. A thankful people is what we are called to be in this world. But it starts with realizing that God is good, and he has helped us and brought us to where we are. The world about us is oftentimes not thankful. They want everything for themselves. Get all we can get. Can all we can. Let's get it all. But God's people, we're thankful and we share with the world about us. It should be a natural response of us when we think of God and his goodness. The second one is, I think of God, the thankfulness. If we realize God is good, and our life's in tune with him, we will serve him faithfully, thanking him for everything. When life is right, thanksgiving is a normal response. So as I ponder God and his goodness and life here on this earth, it'll affect your workplace, the place where you work at. It'll affect your home lives. Excuse me, I got my thoughts a little bit mixed around on those two points. Trust you can bear with me and you can get some truth out of those verses there. But as we ponder God and his goodness, the importance of having our life right with him and our heart right with him. So the two points I wanted to bring out as we are thankful. If we have our heart right with God and our life in right tune with him, thanksgiving is going to be a normal response of our life. And realizing God is good, and it'll affect all those areas we talked about in there, your husband and wife relationships and your children and your homes. The third point I have coming out of Colossians 3 here. I'd like to read chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We had prayer requests many times here. You ever wonder how many of them? I remember one time that Justin went back through and had brought up an old prayer list that we had and mentioned some of the prayers that were answered. When we have prayer, we can realize that God is good. He answers prayer in his own time. Are you thankful for his answer? No, it may not be what we want in this life, but he does it for our good. God is good. So we need to be in prayer, as it says here. Continue in prayer. when life is good and when life is tough. We must continue in prayer and be thankful. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Expect God to answer in His time, though. Maybe we need to give thanks for answers to prayer before they've arrived for us, realizing that God is good. So this morning, where are we at? Psalm 23, the last verse, verse 6. Kind of as a closing verse again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is God's goodness, is His mercy following you all the days of your life? And I'd like to leave the thought with you. If you aren't following Him, how do you expect to accept the promise of this verse? These verses. Where are you going to dwell forever? Where are you going to dwell forever? I trust that our testimony is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When my spirit is heavy and the dark clouds hang low, when a pathway I'm walking is a steep winding road, in the distance a light is shining, beckoning on, bringing joy to my heart to know that God is still good. When temptations come rolling in like floods in a storm, when I'm fighting a battle in the rocks and the thorns, there's a power around me helping carry my load, and my heart can still sing His praises. God is still good. When a new child of God has crossed the river of death, and each day holds a memory of the one who has left, what a comfort to know in heaven we'll meet again, and with anticipation, knowing God is still good. God is good all the time. God is good. He's on time. God is good. He's my friend. God is good till the end. Is God your friend? Let us kneel for prayer.